You're listening to the Gay AF Comedy Podcast with Robert Watson
and Dylan Mahaney.
On today's podcast, Rob has a chance at redemption with a new Poppers quiz, and we answer a flaming question about flirting. But first up, it's stupid gay headlines from top to bottom. Sounds like something's wrong with the fridge or something.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with an appliance right now, and it's making that.
Yeah.
You ever have those noises like in the middle? You're like, what the? Like something's coming out of the vents, and it's just like doing a little.
Oh, yes.
And then you can never get back to sleep.
Yep. Yep.
It's the worst.
It keeps me up. Yeah. It keeps me up.
Okay. Anyways, headlines. We've got headlines. First one. A woman in Holland has designed an AI boyfriend by inputting personality traits from all her ex-boyfriends in an effort to not have to have any more boyfriends.
I like this idea.
Do you actually?
I love this idea.
Tell me about how you would make your AI boyfriend.
Well, first of all, I have a boyfriend, so I'd make it just like him. But if he wasn't available...
well stated. Covering all your bases. I do believe he listens to this. Hi.
Yes. So every person that you date, and I think I might have dated more people than you.
I am sure of it.
Well, not that I'm a heifer.
No, so I met my lovely man like early on in my age time, and we've been getting older ever since.
You've been together for quite some time.
Yes, we don't talk about numbers on this podcast because numbers are not important.
Right.
Yes.
So I've been in quite a few relationships, situationships.
Okay, so this is where numbers are important. How many?
Oh, I have no idea.
Can you?
I have a body count.
Well, I don't want to know that, but we can save that for another podcast. Because then I have to talk about mine, and I'm not really at liberty at this time. No, like, just approximate, how many, like, people have you dated? Like, give an estimation.
I would say probably, like, 10 to 15. I would say there's probably, like, 5 serious relationships.
Okay, and so are you going to input all of those ex-boyfriends into making an AI boyfriend just like this woman from Holland, who is, by the way, a computer engineer and can actually do this?
Right.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, is that with each relationship, you learn what you don't want and what you do want, and you kind of carry that forward into the next relationship. And if you're doing what you should be doing, each relationship is an elevation of the previous one. Now people get stuck in their habits and they like to, you know, if you like cheese pizza, then you're going to always go for cheese pizza when you go for
Domino's. This is an AI boyfriend. You don't have to order any food you don't like ever again.
Right.
But here's the thing about this for me is that you're making someone who's going to always be compliant with you is probably the idea. I don't know anyone who would program AI to be like, well, no, honey, it's time for a fight. I don't want to have that for dinner. Literally, you are a computer program. You won't be eating dinner. So I find it interesting, this idea of you're just getting a yes person. That's what you're making.
See, that's interesting because my initial thought of it was you were taking the qualities that you liked about each person that you've been with and you're putting that into one person.
Like a super person.
Correct. Like without the flaws, without
and without them actually being a person, though. Like, I know there's going to be advances in robots. I don't want a compliant fuck robot as my boyfriend. Okay? And also, ex-boyfriends. So if you're getting all these qualities from ex-boyfriends, those relationships didn't continue. They ended. So if you're putting all the ex-boyfriend traits into your AI new boyfriend, aren't you just going to end up breaking up with the AI boyfriend because they're just like everyone you dated before, Missy? So now you just got the same problem, only you're the one that made it.
So I disagree because she would be going in and taking the good qualities that she liked.
Oh, I don't like how he talked to me. I'm going to tinker with the programming
exactly.
A bit. Oh, that's just weird. That's weird narcissist kind of stuff, I think. That's like, we can rebuild him and make him into exactly what I want.
Because there's endearing qualities about everybody that attract you to them. And they're all different. They should be different from the previous ones before.
But people bring like their own history for better or for worse to their relationships. And here she is building a fake history that she already knows everything about. Or maybe she's like inputting some novel or something. It's like going to be, I don't know, like I don't read near enough books apparently right now to come up with a character like Bram Stoker's Dracula or something like that input. Like, okay, that's not the best. That's a terrible example of a boyfriend.
I like this idea for her. I think this is great. If I had the patience, the money, the time to do this, I probably still wouldn't do it.
No,
but
me neither.
I think it's good for her. I like the idea. I'm on board with this.
You do you, Holland lady.
Yes.
Okay, well, what do you have for a headline?
Holler for a Holland lady.
Okay.
So for the first time in history, scientists have witnessed and photographed two humpback whales having sexual intercourse. But the catch is, it was two males.
Two male humpback whales. They were two men. They were men whales.
Yeah.
They were humping back.
Yes, there with each other.
Yeah, so this is obviously not what the scientists were planning to view. They were like, oh, we're going to watch the mating rituals of the humpback whale. Finally! Well, and then it ends up...
Yes, because so the humpback whales, of course, we've seen them, we've known them for quite some time. And yet, the thing that scientists still don't know about them is mating and giving birth.
Yeah, I think they've seen birthing. They have like... birthing areas in the oceans where they go. So you can actually watch the birthing. It's the sex part that they haven't been able to capture on camera. Did they capture it on camera?
Just photos. I hope
they were tasteful.
I saw the photos.
And so they were copulating these lovely two male humpback whales. What was the reaction of the scientists? Were they happy? Were they like, oh, this didn't...
Well, they initially were quite excited because this is the first time ever that they've been able to capture in a photo humpback whales humping. And then when they got back, they studied the photos and they're like, wait, no, this is two male whales.
I find it so interesting that a whale called the humpback whale has never been seen humping.
Yeah, I know.
That is odd.
So now, of course, there's people going to be like, well, what is up with that? We know that there's a lot of homosexuality in nature.
Yeah.
One thing that I found out recently is that I believe it's called a dwarf chimpanzee.
Oh,
all Lord. Dwarf chimpanzees are bisexual.
I don't know what to do with that information. Like, that's great. Good for them. Like, if everyone's bisexual, do you think we'd all treat each other better? Or do you think everyone would just be like, oh, there's a potential person to get with? I don't know why bisexual. I don't know a bisexual that talks like that, by the way. I don't.
Yeah. But. I don't. What else do we have going on?
Yeah, I guess let's move on. Thank you, humpback whales, for that lovely educational experience, though. I'm sure the scientists appreciate it. And you know what? Every homosexual and queer person appreciates it as well, because queerness exists, whether you like it or not, people.
It's natural.
So natural, for me especially. Okay, next headline is, a man in Ohio has been arrested after leaving phone messages searching for a hitman, but he was calling the wrong number. So, yes. So what happened is, he obviously needs someone killed.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to check his phone numbers before he makes the call, because he ended up calling a moving service. Maybe he said, oh, moving service. Well, I want this guy moved to an early grave. But that's not how moving services work. They're moving your stuff.
Right.
But he left a message and then he didn't get a response back. So he left a second message. And that's when the moving was like, I think we better turn this over to the police. And the police found him and they arrested him. But it says a man in Ohio. This sounds like a Florida man, really, to me. This is a Florida man type thing. Folks at home, just Google into Google. What is that? Is that how you do it? You just type into Google your birth date and then the words Florida man, and you always get a treat of a headline of something strange that some Florida man has done. Try that at home. It's a lot of fun. We should maybe find a segment like that. That'd be a lot of fun. We should do that. But yeah, so he got caught. There's not much to say except like, guy.
So my question initially is, was he given the wrong number or was he just misdialing?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have the answer to that. It hasn't gone to trial yet, so we haven't found exactly how he made his mistake.
Because I can understand if you're looking for a hitman, now this is an activity that I've never done.
No.
But if you're looking for a hitman, I could see the confusion of calling a moving company and thinking, well, this is just a front for the hitmanery.
Yeah, I could see that being a thing. Yeah, it's like, oh, this is the number my friend gave me. Call these guys. Maybe they had changed numbers and it went back into the system. I don't know. But I think it's interesting that there's the whole concept of hiring someone to kill someone, because that's now two people that are going to go to jail. Like, you don't get away with it because you didn't do the actual killing.
Right.
Like, I've always found it fascinating. It's like, no, you might as well do the deed, because at least then I am not advocating murder, folks. I just want to say that right now. I do not advocate murder. But if in this hypothetical world where murder or murder for hire is a possibility, just do it yourself. Like, come on. If you actually want it done, do your own dirty work. Come on.
I say hire a professional.
Yeah, well, you never like doing work.
Correct.
You're like, I can't imagine you getting your hands dirty doing, well, just in general, but especially with a murder.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God. But really, though, leaving a message about it, that's the stupidest part.
Well, speaking some sort of code, at least.
I know.
Like, back when weed was illegal, we had a guy that we'd call, and you don't say, hey, I'm looking for some weed. Right. You say, you have some sort of code. It wasn't that. Right. I don't want to tell you what my actual code was.
What, because they might backtrack it?
No, well, it's true. Weed is legal now, so I guess I can't say it. But no, we would ask for, are there any tickets for tonight's show?
Oh.
And he would say, oh, there's some really good tickets. You're really going to enjoy the show.
I love that.
So he could have spoken. There's so many ways he could have done better.
Right.
Ohio man maybe should have moved to Florida.
Be in prison just for his stupidity.
Well, there we go. Do you have another? You said you had one more headline for
us. Yes, I have a surprise headline.
No, I don't know. I might not like this headline at all. It's possible. But Dylan has decided I do not get to know before he does it. But so go ahead, Dylan.
Well, Robert, Toronto has had a very unusual visitor for the last few weeks, and it has caused troves of people of a particular age to gather. Now, this unlikely visitor is a Bullock's Oriole.
Oh, it's a bird.
It's a bird!
Has it been blown off course by a storm, or is this just the arrival of spring? What is
it? So it should not be
I'm
here.
Thrilled.
It should not be.
I'm thrilled by this headline.
It should not be. Finally, we get to talk about birds on here. It really should not be in Ontario at all. It lives on the West Coast. So if you're in California, it would be like, oh, this is a robin, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But it's in its first year of life. So I think it's just confused. I don't think a storm would have taken it. It's not the first time that a Bullock's Oriole has ended up in Ontario. It's probably the second time. The last time it was a female in her first year, and this one is a male in his first year. And I found out about this because literally what was happening, there was just a group of older people with their cameras and binoculars, and they were just gathered around and then to see the Bullock's Oriole.
What does this have anything to do with anything we do on this podcast? Like, I know we talk about animals, but there was nothing gay about that. There was nothing funny about it. It just exists. It's just a thing. I saw that there was a person crossing the street, so I thought that would be relevant for the podcast today. Or, a dog barked and people heard it, so I thought that was of note. What's going on? Who cares?
Oh, well, I do.
Well, you do.
Obviously, I went out and all I needed to do was find a gaggle of old people. And I got to see the Bullock's Oriole, which I never would have seen.
That's fine. I don't know about you, but those lovely elderly bird watching people are not my target audience. But if they're yours, I guess folks, people who are used to hearing gay AF comedy are going to just have to get used to listening to gay AF bird watching. Maybe you could do a little subset podcast. Dylan is watching for gay birds or something like that.
It is a very nice looking bird.
Yeah. And it's also a very gay thing to do is look for birds. I don't know.
I mean, all right, that's all we got.
That's all you got. Okay, we're going to close down stupid gay headlines. Thank goodness. Dear Lord. Angry. Don't you chirp. That is not. Don't you dare. All right, let's continue on. We have got a great redemption story arc about to be built here today, folks, because we are doing my second Poppers quiz. Dylan has got 10 questions for me about gay-esque pop culture moments, and I think he's actually pretty mad about the last one that I did because I was purposely trying to get him, and I have a feeling he is out to get me today. So, Dylan, you've got some questions for me? What's going on?
I do. Actually, I made these, I feel, more equitable.
Oh, great. Yeah, equal opportunity failure is what you're saying.
Well, the last time I focused really heavily on gay pop icons in music.
Yes, you did. And that wasn't necessarily my strength. And that's why I went for television for you, because yeah. I was like, well, I want to find your weakness.
Yeah. So this is like pretty standard gay.
Standard gay culture question. So you're saying if I don't know these, I'm really going to have to turn in my homosexual membership card.
Yeah. So...
okay, so let's open it up. We love calling this segment a particular name. We call it Poppers.
Okay, so you know GLAAD, the organization?
Yes, GLAAD. Gays and Lesbians
Alliance Against Defamation.
Against Defamation, yes. I knew that, yes. Oh. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding. That wasn't the question.
Oh, okay.
So they have given out 2 Vanguard Awards.
Okay.
To two separate couples.
What couples are they?
Correct. What couples are they? The first couple that they gave the Vanguard Award to was the first recipients of the Vanguard Award ever. And that was in 93.
In 93. And it was a couple.
It was a straight couple.
Oh.
And so was the second one.
Well, I'm not going to be able to guess if it's straight people.
All of the Vanguard Award winners are straight people.
So the gay and lesbian Association Against Defamation is giving their awards to straight people because what, they don't have enough awards already? Why are they giving awards to straight people? This is a terrible question. But you're still looking at me like, so I have it. Was a, I don't know. Okay, who's a straight couple? I don't know. I feel like Susan Sarandon and Tim Roth, not Tim Roth, what's his name? Tim Meadows? No, I don't even know what I was saying. Susan Sarandon, whoever she was with at the time, that was named Tim.
No. Oh. So the first recipient, are you giving up on both?
Well, no.
Guess a newer one. I think it was 2019.
2019?
Yes.
Okay, that one, I don't know. George Clooney and Amal Clooney.
No. Okay, so the first recipients of the Vanguard Award
in 93.
Ever. You're going to die.
What's, just say it already.
Roseanne Barr.
And Tom Arnold?
Yup.
Wow.
The first recipients of the Vanguard Award from GLAAD.
She's so different now, though.
She's so different.
She is not the same person.
I know.
Tom Arnold was the one that made her good. Oh, that, what does that say?
I know.
Okay, move on. I want to hear the next question.
The second couple, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's just like they want someone famous to show up. So like, let's invite them. And if they show up, we'll give them an award. And then we got pictures of them at our event. That's how some awards work out, people.
Well, Jay-Z actually has done quite a bit of...
What's about the lesbian mom? No, exactly. Wait, that's Kanye.
No, Jay-Z has... No. Kanye has
the deceased mom.
The dead mom, yes. No. But Jay-Z has the lesbian mother.
That's right. Oh, well, yes. That's nice. Okay.
All right. So the best, second best, we know the best-selling single.
Is this the next question?
Next question.
Okay, let's maybe try a cleaner entry on that.
The best-selling single from Kylie Minogue we know is Can't Get You Out of My Head.
That's correct.
What's her second best? And I'll let you choose between the UK and the U.S. Actually, I want both.
Okay, I really don't like, because I know when you go for the Kylie deep dive because you want to make me look bad because I do enjoy Kylie quite a bit. So I get that you're trying to embarrass me here. So her biggest singles, I mean, if we go back to the 80s, that was when her biggest singles were before Can't Get You Out of My Head. So Locomotion was a huge hit for her. So I feel like that would be a contender. But then again, some of her follow-up singles on Fever actually did quite well as well. It's In Your Eyes actually charted better on the dance charts, I believe, than Can't Get It In My Head. So I'm going to say that In Your Eyes was one of them.
No.
Okay. All right, I'm going to just say Come Into My World, because that was the song last time. Was it Come Into My World?
No, she did win a Grammy for that, but that's not the song.
Don't remind me about that question I got wrong. Okay, I for sake of time, I have to... Okay, I'll make some quick guesses. Was Padam Padam?
No.
Okay. And it wasn't Locomotion?
No.
And it wasn't... Okay, I'm going to just start flipping off songs.
Well, think of the single that came after Locomotion.
Oh, I should be so lucky. Damn it.
That was her second biggest in the UK.
Yeah, and her biggest in the US was probably...
Her second biggest in the US.
Her second biggest in the US. It was Slow?
Love at First Sight.
It was Love at First Sight. I should have known that. Okay, let's move on. I'm unhappy.
Right. Back to GLAAD.
Okay. Oh, because I'm so glad right now, you can tell.
Which male country singer won a GLAAD Award for Outstanding Music Song in 93?
In 93, that'd be Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks!
I got it! Ha! I got that.
Okay, staying with GLAAD.
Oh, more?
Oh, yes. Taylor Swift mentions GLAAD in which song?
You Need to Calm Down.
Correct!
Yeah! Okay, yes, yes.
Yes, why are you mad when you could be glad?
All right.
All right, which show features the longest running queer character in TV history?
It's The Simpsons.
Okay, so...
Because it's Mr. Burns' assistant.
So Smithers.
Smithers.
So actually, no. Because Smithers only came out in the recent season.
Oh, okay, so I have to think of someone else then.
So, because I would have went for The Simpsons as well, and I think this could be debated, because, I mean, you're not just gay until you come out.
That's very true. He had a lot of tendencies.
Correct.
And, yes, but so it's not that. So now I have to think of something. So, well, Will and Grace only went for 7. Modern Family went for 9. I'm going to say Modern Family.
No. Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I forgot about the dramas. I went right to comedy because that's, you know, the nature of the podcast, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, good for Grey's Anatomy.
All right, now, staying with TV, what TV show featured the largest transgender cast in history?
What TV show?
Yeah.
And it wasn't Transparent?
No.
Wow, okay. Largest transgender cast. Was it Pose?
It was Pose.
Hey! I'm on a roll.
Now give your fun fact about Pose with Billy Porter.
Well, we did that on the other thing. But Porter was the first openly gay male to win the Best Actor Emmy for a drama.
Yes. Will and Grace premiered in what year?
Snap. It was 99. No, 98.
It was 98.
Yeah, I was thinking of the end of the year as opposed to the beginning of the year. It was the 98-99 season.
All right. Who's the first winner ever of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Bibi Zahara-Benet? Is that yes. how you say your name? Yeah, I yes. knew that one. I knew that one.
All right. Okay. Now, this one, if you do not get, which of the Golden Girls had a gay brother?
Oh, you mean on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's easy. It's Blanche had the
okay.
gay brother.
Okay.
Clayton.
Okay. I had no idea. Okay, last question. What show aired the first ever lesbian wedding on American TV?
On American TV?
Mm-hmm.
It was Friends.
It was Friends.
Hey! Oh my, not only should I get my gay homosexual membership card back, like I should be given VIP status for how well I did today. I think I maybe got three wrong.
Yeah, you're the, like, what is it? What is it? The parade foreman?
I'm the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade.
The Grand Marshal of the Gay Parade. Yeah.
All right. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I will take that.
Good job.
All right, Pride Toronto. You've heard it here first. I'm going to be your Grand Marshal this year just because I can answer those questions.
Well,
there we
go. You could go to Brazil. They have a bigger Pride Parade.
Yeah, well, good for them.
The world's largest.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, there's a whole bunch of murder capitals down there. So I'm not as, I mean, not because of people being gay. I want to make that clear, but there's just a lot of murder.
This has been a very murdery podcast.
We have been saying murder a lot. It will probably end up being in the title of the episode.
We're going to get flagged.
We're going to get flagged for saying murder.
You're supposed to say unalive now.
Unalive. Well, unalive means instead of dead. If you're unalive without consent.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody unalived you.
All right. Okay. Oh, I've heard that. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on, though. That is enough. Hopefully there won't be any murder talk in this last segment today. But we have a burning flaming question today. I love a good flaming question. How about you?
I love it. Of course.
All right. Well, here it is now. So who wrote this to us? I think it was Bernice. Bernice.
Bernice.
Bernice. Close to bird. You thought it was going to be like, oh, he's about to say bird said this. But no, Bernice. Mm. Bernice. Bernice writes to us, I love my boyfriend of 6 years a lot. But one thing that bothers me is he is very flirty with other people. How do you feel about flirting outside of your relationship? That's a great question, Bernice.
I think that's a great question, too.
Are you a flirt? Are you a natural flirt?
So I don't understand flirting, so I don't know how to flirt.
I would agree with that. I haven't seen you in action trying to flirt, but I've seen you interacting with people, and I don't think it's a big part of your repertoire.
No, like, I'm just a kind person, and typically if I'm speaking with somebody that I don't already know, I just want the interaction to end.
I guess so. I mean, if you do know of someone that you like and you find that you're someone like, oh, you know what? I'd really like to talk to them about this because I know that they have a similar interest as I do, whether it be music or something like that. And I've seen you go right up to a stranger and be like, oh my gosh, I love this person, singer, as much as you love that person. And then you hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
But there isn't really any flirting involved.
No. Like, I get confused if people are trying to flirt with me. Like, I've never been picked up at a bar.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah, like I haven't had somebody come up to me and be like, oh, remember that kid show? I was a character on that kid show.
I don't know what you're talking about. But so I am a bit of a natural flirt. Like, if you've probably seen me in action, like I'll say nice things and I say it in a little like, well, yeah, you're doing really well. You know, like I have a, you don't think I'm a flirt? You're looking at me as if like I'm from outer space
well,
telling
that's
you
the
that
thing.
I flirt.
I don't know. Ugh. I don't know flirt language.
Okay, trust me. I am a flirt and I'm good at it, all right?
Okay.
And it's from years of doing retail. If you've worked retail, you're probably good at flirting because you probably have been trying to sell something. You're like, oh, you look really good in that. Wow. You know what would look, you know, you do all the things where you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I could just see how you'd just be out on a date and be like, you know, like, I don't know, while you're putting on someone's makeup or they're trying on a piece of clothing, whether male or female, I've definitely said, oh my God, those pants or whatever. Well, I have walked the line in retail where it's like, do we buy this pair of pants or do we contact HR? Like, yes, it's happened. But no, I'm a nice flirt. I'm like, oh, you look so great. What do you do? You know, like just think like,
well, that's friendly to me.
Yeah. But if you're doing it to strangers.
Yeah.
But so that's what this guy's doing. Like he's being flirty with people. I don't know, maybe like right in front of her too. Like,
so that's the thing. I think it's, well, what do you think about flirting when you're in a relationship?
I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I think
it depends on the style of flirting. Like if it's like overtly sexual flirting, like, oh, I'd love to see what's inside those pants. Like maybe not appropriate, but that's inappropriate in general.
Right.
But like flirting is in like, you know, it's like someone's like, oh, I love my Starbucks coffee in the morning. Oh, I bet you too. You know, like things like that. Right. It's just silly. Like it's silly. It's fun.
Right.
It's reminding us that we're all human and that we probably just need to relax a bit more and like have fun. And basically flirting is complimenting. So right. Bernice, does Bernice have a problem with her boyfriend just complimenting other people? That's where I'd be like, maybe the problem is with her.
Well, my question, like, I'm okay with flirting as long as it's, like, if it's a public setting, if there's other people involved. But if there's flirting that leads to chemistry, that's where I think, like, because you never want to put yourself in a situation where something could happen.
I guess so. I mean, this is about human nature. And it's just, I've always found it quite fascinating that people that are, like, flirty or something, is like, you don't have to carry it on to then, like, oh, I'm going to make my move. Or, like, I don't necessarily find attraction a part of flirting. You do it because it's fun.
Right.
Like, I flirt because it's fun, and I also love witty wordplay, and sometimes it comes out as a flirt.
Right.
And then we all have a laugh and a fun day or whatever, you know? Like, it depends. You're right, though. Like, what? Let's say it's flirting, and it's like, you're the only person in the room. You're there late at night in the office, and so-and-so's saying, you know, I've really enjoyed working with you these last few weeks. You know, like, something like that. It's like, uh-oh, what's going on there? But that's then the other person's job to then decide what they want to do with that, too. But I think Bernice is probably just seeing... I love that I keep saying Bernice. It's fun to say her name. Thanks, Bernice. I think Bernice, it's about gauging how good he is to you then outside of this idea of flirting. Because if everything else is fine, I might say you don't have to worry as much as you're worrying.
Correct. If he's not, like, actually stepping out or crossing lines.
If he's not creeping.
Correct. TLC reference. I love that. I think that it's an inward look. It's a, why am I insecure about this? That it's your fault, Bernice.
Well, it might be part of the equation, but there could be a side. Like, you talked about how, you know, you're not great at flirting. Maybe Bernice isn't as good at it. So there could be that element too that makes you go like, oh, he's so good and personable with people. And maybe it's a quality that I don't have that quality. And so it makes you a bit suspicious of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think it's more so about the situations, right? Like, I don't put myself in situations where anything could happen. I'm not saying that I want to cheat. I don't want to cheat. And yet I understand we're people. Situations can happen. People can get drunk. Things can lead to one thing to another. And yet, if you control the situation so much so that you're never in a situation where you could do something that you'd regret, then you're good.
Also, the thing, though, too, that we haven't addressed is heterosexual couples that have flirting people in the relationship compared to a homosexual or a same-sex couple. Because my husband and I, we'll look at a guy and we both go, oh, isn't that guy cute? You know, that doesn't really happen in a heterosexual relationship the same way. If that guy, Bernice's boyfriend said, hey, that girl's pretty cute, what do you think? She would probably lose it.
Well, that's a thing. It's rarely would you look at a heterosexual couple and see a guy have a girl best friend or the woman have a guy best friend.
It definitely creates a level of tension in a relationship that where I've seen. I don't think it needs to exist. I'm always surprised by this kind of stuff. It's like, come on, people, just be an adult. But
see, I get it.
Yeah, I guess.
I get it.
Well, you've told me some stories we don't talk about on this podcast because Dylan respects all of his friends' privacy.
Mm-hmm. I was actually talking to one of my friends yesterday and I was mentioning, oh my God, like I was just reflecting on how many cheater pumpkin eater stories I have in my mind that I just never have told.
Oh my gosh. So that might be a future podcast. We can change names because I want to know, and I think our viewers do too. Bernice, I hope we've helped answer that question. I don't know. Hey, you've been together 6 years. Something must be going right. So if it's a problem, talk to him about it and just keep the lines of communication open. That's the best kind of advice I can give. What would you say?
Yeah, set the boundaries, be open about it, talk about it, go to therapy. I think therapy is great. Well, there's plans. On a payment plan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can afford therapy?
Can I?
Yeah.
Well, it's like $60.
All right, we got to talk after this. Okay, but folks, we're going to close down the podcast for today. We hope you had a good time listening to us.
We're going to chat it up. Close down the podcast.
We're closing it down for today.
We're shutting her down, folks.
We're shutting it down. Okay, so folks, we hope you've had a lovely time listening to us today because we've had a lovely time talking, as we always do. And folks, we hope you're having a great day. We hope you're going to have a great week ahead. And folks, always remember to be proud to be gay as fuck. Say goodbye, Dylan.
Goodbye.
The Gay AF Comedy Podcast is a production of Gay AF Comedy. All songs and sound effects can be found on the YouTube free library because we're cheap. Follow us on Instagram, Stand Up Dylan, and this is Rob Watson. And you can follow Gay AF Comedy at Gay AF Comedy.